Leviticus 25, verse number 10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." Hello, this is Pastor Wynn Greer from the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. And we want to welcome you today to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. We will take just a moment and let you know about the ministry at Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. We'd love for you to come and be with us in any or all of our services. We have Sunday school for all ages, Sunday morning at 10 a.m. We have our Sunday morning worship service at 11, second and fourth Sunday nights at 6, and every Wednesday night at 7. And we are currently studying through the book of Mark, and I have really enjoyed the book of Mark. It's been a great blessing to me just to go verse by verse, chapter after chapter, and look at each and every thought in there. And it takes a little while to do that, but it's worth it. I mean, there's a lot of things that maybe we pass over unless we go through the Bible verse by verse. And so we're doing that on Wednesday nights and having a good time doing it. We'd love to invite you to come out. It is good to be here once again today. Good to see Noah. We both were running a little late. I don't know how it was when you came in, but the traffic is awful today.
It slowed down a little bit, but yeah. I know what you mean. It's been pretty bad out there.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Could be New York City.
That, I don't know.
Always be, could be worse.
That's right. And we do want to say welcome to those out there who are listening in today, those who listen in right here on AM 1450 WATA out of Boone, North Carolina, those who listen in on AM 690 WZAP out of Bristol, Virginia, and those who listen in on KPGT 89.1 FM, The Truth, out of Watertown, South Dakota.
We do appreciate all of our listeners, and I was privileged to be in revival last week at the Beulah Baptist Church in Meadowview, Virginia, and we met several that came to the services that told us that they listened on the radio. So that's always a blessing to meet people that that listen on the radio. And then a lot of times, and I don't know if you've ever experienced this before, but you hear somebody on the radio and you imagine in your mind what they look like based on their voice. And so a lot of times people will say, "Now I've got a face to put with that voice," and stuff like that. So that's always interesting. I've done that before. Mm-hmm. You know, you get in your mind, well, that's a tall guy, that's a short person, they've got glasses, black hair, whatever. And then when you meet them, they don't look like anything that you imagine.
You say, so, his hair's not black, it's white.
Yeah, mine's not, that's for sure. Oh, well, that's all right. That could be worse, too. You know what he's talking about. But anyway, before we get in trouble, we'll go on with our series that we've been bringing. We've been talking about the subject, What I Can Do for My Country. And I'm really interested in this subject, what I can do for my country as a citizen, as a Christian person, as a pastor, as a head of a household, a dad, a father, you know, raising children, what I can do for my country. Now, not politics, that's not what I'm talking about, not voting for this person or that person, although that plays into it a little bit, but we're not talking about following after some politician. We're not talking about some man-made ideas or notions that people have, different gimmicks or things like that. But what I am really interested in when it comes to what I can do for my country is what the Bible says. And it may surprise you how much the Bible does say about the different nations, the leaders, the system that the different people down through the ages have had to live under. Sometimes in the Old Testament, Israel was occupied. Sometimes they found themselves strangers in a strange land. And then we study about the New Testament, and we see that the early Christians were persecuted very severely. And they had to live under these circumstances. They had to live under this these different types of governments. And many times, most of the time, they suffered because of that. So the Bible has a great deal to say about what we can do for our country. We have looked, first of all, at the subject of prayer. We spent several weeks studying over in 1 Timothy chapter number 2, where basically the Bible says, first of all, pray. And so that's the first thing we need to be doing, is we need to pray for our nation, for kings. The Bible says for every man, for kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. We talked about that. We talked about after that, basically, that we need to be faithful to the truth. We need to obey the Great Commission. We need to be faithful to what Jesus said. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And we talked about that led into the subject of the local church, which we've been talking about for the past few weeks now. And we talked about last week the value of the local church, the community's most valuable asset. And we spent all last week talking about that from 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. Now, if you're a student of the New Testament, the emphasis of the New Testament is on churches, whether it's the book of Acts, whether it's the different books, which most of them are named after local churches, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. And then we see over in the book of Revelation, we have Samaria, we have Ephesus, we have Laodicea, we have Smyrna. Those were places, those were places where there was a local church. The emphasis of the New Testament is on churches with a little c, as opposed to church with a capital C. And there's a big difference between those two. The emphasis in the Bible is on churches. And the churches of that day turned the world upside down. We had a visiting missionary last Sunday night, Brother Raymond Johnson. He is a Choctaw Indian, and he has been one of our missionaries for 35 years now, and been very faithful. And he was talking about the different places that he had been and established churches. And he preached on the subject that we need some people who will turn the world upside down. Now, what do you mean by that? Well, he took that phrase from the Bible, Acts chapter number 17, verse number 6. Here's what the enemies of the early churches said about them. These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. And so he preached on, we need some people to turn the world upside down. And he preached on the subject of those local churches and the great impact that they had on their society in that day in which they lived. And so I got a blessing out of that. And it just further reinforced some of the things I've been talking about on the radio. Now, what we want to look at today, I want to begin talking just a little bit about the historical impact of local churches in America. You study about the history of the church in America and the impact. And we've already said a little bit about this. We talked about the pilgrims coming over on the Mayflower. They were seeking religious freedom. They were being persecuted in England. They fled to Holland. They were persecuted over there. Things were very worldly. They were very different. They sought a place that they could get away from all that and just be free to worship God and serve God according to the dictates of their conscience. And so that's the main reason they came to America to begin with. But we think about the historical impact of the local churches in America. Americans have always been religious. There's no time you can go back to and say, well, they were secular. There's always been the influence of churches. There's always been pastors, preachers. This just goes back to the very foundations of our nation. Well, I want to read in Acts chapter 9, verse number 31. The Bible said, "Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied." Now these churches, if you read and study Acts chapter 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, they'd been persecuted. Chapter number 8, Stephen had been put to death for preaching the gospel. Many of them had been arrested. They'd been threatened. They'd been set loose. They'd been charged. not to preach or teach in the name of Jesus anymore. There was a lot of turmoil. There was a lot of conflict went on in the early church. But in spite of all of that, the Bible said, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria. In spite of being persecuted, they grew, they multiplied, and their influence had a impact on their society that eventually, although they had been persecuted, they also had times of rest because they were going, preaching the gospel. They were influencing people. Lives were being changed. Attitudes were being changed. The way of thinking was being changed. They were seeing that there were, that idolatry was false, that there was a living and true God. It had just had a great impact upon their society. The Bible said the churches, that's a little c, this is talking about local churches in all these different places, in Judea and Galilee and Samaria. From Jerusalem, you see the spread of churches from one community to the next, to the next, to the next. And so you see there the spread of churches. They were edified. That means they were built up and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied, the Bible says. And so we say once again, the emphasis of the New Testament is not on church, capital C. We're not talking about an organization. We're not talking about a headquarters. We're not talking about one man being over the church. But we're talking about local churches with pastors, with members, with deacons that obey the word of God, and they baptize, and they observe the Lord's Supper, and they try to follow the Lord according to the Bible. Local churches, the Bible said they were multiplied. If you study church history, and I'm not going to take time to go into all of this, but it's very, very interesting as you study church history from the Gospels and the book of Acts up to the present day. What you will find is the gospel went west. It went west from Jerusalem. And you just study, and a lot of Bibles have in the back, they have maps. And you can study the missionary journeys of the Apostle Paul, number one, number two, number three. And what you find is his widening area of influence. And every time he went out, he went a little bit further. And every time he went out, he established churches. And then he went out again and he checked on the first churches that he'd established. And he established more churches. And the trend of the early churches was to go west from Jerusalem to Asia Minor to Macedonia, which is what we refer to as modern day Europe. They went into Europe. They went into the British Isles. And finally, and we're going over a multitude of years here, finally we find churches in America that came out of Britain, that came out of Europe. You know, you can trace it backwards, you can follow it forwards. Either way, the gospel went west. And contrary to the way some believe, we will say this, there has never been a time or a country or a place where the church, talking about true churches, went out of existence or ceased to be. I believe it was Charles Spurgeon, who was a very famous pastor in the 1800s. He made a comparison one time. He said sometimes the church was like an underground river. They may have had to hide. They may have gone out of the limelight, so to speak, but it was always there. You see where it went in, you see where it come out. And the interesting thing about studying the record of the true church is true churches, the history of them, they're not found in libraries, in cathedrals. They're not found in church minutes. They're not found in libraries in towns. If you want to follow and find the history of the true church, many times what you have to do is you have to follow the record of persecutions down through the years. During the Dark Ages, an estimated 50 million Christians were burnt, drowned, banished, starved to death, imprisoned, fed to wild beasts, and on and on and on. The history of the world from the Book of Acts up until the present day has been one of persecution of the true church. Now, in America, by and large, modern, what we know about, I'm talking about contemporary, our generation, we know very little about this, but the lot of the church down through the years has been one of being persecuted, and there's been much persecution. One of the best books you can read, a little book, was written by J.M. Carroll, and it's called The Trail of Blood, and he talked about in the introduction to that book that he wanted to study. He didn't understand the different denominations. He got interested in church history and what was the true church and finding all of these things out. And so he began to study. And he said this, and I'm going to read just a little bit. He said, "Their history is written in the legal documents and papers of those ages. It is through these records that the Trail of Blood winds its way as you find such statements." And he gives some examples of historical examples of writings, records of those who were the enemies of the true church. He said this, "At Zurich, after many disputations between Zwinglius and the Anabaptists, the Senate made an act that if any presumed to rebaptize those who were baptized before, i.e. as infants, they should be drowned. At Vienna, many Anabaptists were tied together in chains that one drew the other after him into the river, wherein they were all suffocated and drowned." Wouldn't that be a horrible thing? But that is in the records of different countries. He said, "In the year of our Lord," here's another example from Fuller Church History, "in the year of our Lord, 1539, two Anabaptists were burned beyond Southwark, and a little before them, five Dutch Anabaptists were burned in Smithfield." He said, in 1160, a company of Paulicians Baptists entered Oxford. Henry II ordered them to be branded on the forehead with hot irons, publicly whipped them through the streets of the city, to have their garments cut short at the girdles, and to be turned into the open country. The villages were not to afford them any shelter or food, and they perished a lingering death from cold and hunger. This is from Moore, Earlier and Later Nonconformity in Oxford, number 12. He said the old chronicler Stowe, A.D. 1533, relates, "The 25th of May in St. Paul's Church, London, examined 19 men and 6 women. 14 of them were condemned. A man and a woman were burned at Smithfield. The other 12 of them were sent to towns there to be burned." Froude, the English historian, says of these Anabaptist martyrs, "The details are all gone. Their names are gone. Scarcely the facts seem worth mentioning. For them, no Europe was agitated, no court was ordered in mourning, no papal hearts trembled with indignation. At their death, the world looked on complacent, indifferent, or exulting. Yet here, out of 25 poor men and women, were found 14 who by no terror of stake or torture could be tempted to say they believed what they did not believe. History has for them no word of praise. Yet they, too, were not giving their blood in vain. Their lives might have been as useless as the lives of most of us. In their death, they assisted to pay the purchase of English freedom." And so this historian, he ties in the death of the martyrs to the freedoms that we enjoy today. "In their death, they assisted to pay the purchase of English freedom." Dr. Carroll also gives examples from those who were enemies of the Anabaptists and the Baptists. From Cardinal Hoseas, who's Catholic, 1524, president of the Council of Trent. Here's what Cardinal Hoseas had to say. "Were it not that the Baptists have been grievously tormented and cut off with the knife during the past 1,200 years, they would swarm in greater number than all the reformers." Now, if he said that in 1524, and he said for the past 1,200 years they've been cut off with the knife, how far back does that go? That goes back to just the time of the New Testament. He said, "Sir Isaac Newton, the Baptists are the only body of known Christians that have never symbolized with Rome. Moshima Lutheran said before the rise of Luther and Calvin, there lay secreted in almost all the countries of Europe persons who adhered tenaciously to the principles of modern Dutch Baptists. The Edinburgh Cyclopedia, which is Presbyterian, says it must have already occurred to our readers that the Baptists are the same sect of Christians that were formerly described as Anabaptists. Indeed, this seems to have been their leading principle from the time of Tertullian to the present time. Tertullian was born 50 years after the death of the Apostle John. And on and on. Now, I wish I'd have bought this. I'd lived in the country of England from 1987 to 1991 in the United States Air Force. One of the fun things we used to do, there used to be markets every Saturday. People would go to market. They would walk into town and vendors would be set up and they had all kinds of things for sale. A lot of these are old things. I found in the market one day an old copy from the 1700s of Fox's Book of Martyrs. Now, if you go to a Christian bookstore and you buy a Fox's Book of Martyrs, it's going to be about the size of a novel. It's going to be about 200 to 300 pages, an inch thick, and that's pretty much what you're going to find for sale. But this Fox's Book of Martyrs was twice the size of a normal phone book, and it had small print all the way through it, and it chronicled thousands and thousands of people that had been burned at the stake. That's what it is, Fox's Book of Martyrs. And it's just a book telling about all the people and all the records that Mr. Fox had found of people that had been put to this, burned at the stake, killed, drowned in the river. And it's very fascinating reading. Most people do not realize how much persecution that the church, the local churches, have had heaped upon them down through the centuries. Now, we bring that forward to America. This spirit of persecution is what drove the pilgrims from England to Holland to America. The only problem is that the persecutors, those who were doing the persecuting, they also came to America. And as they came to America, they brought their spirit of persecution with them. The Puritans, which were the counterpart of the Pilgrims, the Puritans came and settled mainly up north in Maine and Boston and the states up north. The Puritans came, they persecuted, they outlawed, they banished the Baptists and all who did not associate with their particular church. There's an interesting story in history about the beating of Obadiah Holmes, a Baptist person who was guilty of holding a church service in the house of an old man that sent a letter and requested that somebody would come over and minister to him. And he came into the state of Massachusetts and he was arrested and put in jail, and he would not recant of doing that. And they took him out in the streets of Boston and just beat him until the blood ran down the street. This was common in the early days of America. It was against the law in Virginia and North Carolina to be anything but a member of the Church of England. And they had a law that you had to attend church and you had to pay taxes or tithe to that church. The Church of England outlawed the Baptist ministers, the Baptist marriages they would not recognize, the Baptist meetings were against the law, and there were several years there of persecution of the Baptists and the Quakers. They were outlawed. They were beaten. They were fined. Their land and their property was confiscated. They were put in prison. I'm talking about in North Carolina and Virginia, especially. The Church of England was the official state church. In the early days of St. Louis, it was against the law to minister if you were not a Roman Catholic. And there are historical accounts of Baptist preachers standing in the Mississippi River and preaching so that they wouldn't be arrested. They couldn't technically say that they were in St. Louis, so they'd go out into the river and preach in the Mississippi River. And early America is full of examples of religious persecution. The interesting thing is this persecution was carried out by those claiming to be the church, capital C. The official, what it was actually state church. The state church, no matter which one it is, which one is in power and control, is always an enemy to true freedom. The Bible does not preach, condone, or promote a state church. Yet here we are in America. And one of our greatest principles in America, one freedom that we hold dear above all others, is the First Amendment. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. So when you look at our history, it does not seem that we would have a First Amendment in America where we have complete freedom of religion, and we have where Congress cannot make a law respecting an establishment of religion, and we have freedom of speech, and we have freedom of the press. And the answer to why we have that and why it is so important is not found in that's what the political leaders wanted. It is not what the state church groups wanted. There were several states that had an official state church up north, in the south, all over in the 13 colonies. Those state churches, they wanted to remain in control. It was not the lawyers of the time. It was not the ACLU or anything like that. I know there was no ACLU, but it was not a group like that. The reason why America has freedom of religion and why that is one of the principal cornerstones of what we believe and what makes us different from all the other countries in the world, why that makes us a leader as far as civil rights are concerned, the reason why can be found in Acts chapter 9, verse number 31. The churches were multiplied. The churches were multiplied. It wasn't just one church. It was a multitude of churches. And they spread. They spread from Jerusalem. They went west. They went into Macedonia. They went into modern-day Europe. They went into the British Isles. They came into America. These churches that were persecuted and that were outlawed, they kept on and they kept on and they kept on. And we have a direct relation. We have a direct thank you owed to the early church and their efforts to go, and what an impact it makes in a country, what a difference it makes in a country. Because as they went, they preached the gospel. And the gospel is the truth. And Jesus said, and we've said this many, many times, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So where you have the truth, you have freedom. You have a desire of freedom and to be free. And you have a desire for others to be free, because you realize if you're not free, other people are not free. If you're not free to preach your message, others are not. But you have to be free. So Christians that follow the Bible in the local church, they put a great emphasis on being free and being able to spread the truth. The brightness and greatness of the past can be contributed to the power and the influence of the local churches, and the hope of the future lies in the same. The hope of the future lies in the local churches. The truth being spread, lives being changed, minds and hearts being different. What a blessing it is to be just a small part of a local church. Well, we see our time is quickly coming gone today. We're thinking about the impact of the local church in America. Do you like your freedoms? You ought to thank the impact of the local church. Well, Noah's going to come and give her contact information. We do appreciate all of our listeners, and we hope you have a great day, and God bless you is our prayer.
This has been Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wayne Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. It's located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org. www.lifeonthepointfm.org.